Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think the Steelers ranked among 32 teams, so it's just backs, receivers, tight ends. That's it.
I'm going to go late teens, like 18 or 19?
27th.
Whew.
Now there's a commonality among every team between they and the Chargers are 32nd, actually, which is kind of surprising because they've had guys move on or guys who are still...
They have, like, no receivers.
Right. Well, that's kind of the thing people are sort of observing about them is they're really thin. Like, Harbaugh looks like he's taken this thing back to the prehistoric era. But everyone trusts him to do it because he's been such a good NFL coach and a good college coach. So the teams behind the Steelers, it's Giants, Panthers, Chargers, obviously, and Patriots is another one. So Patriots, 31. 20. So I'm missing one team. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who they are that's in there. But they're the lowest the Steelers are in the AFC North. This is what he wrote. Pin it on Kenny Pickett, Matt Canada, Mitch Trubisky, Mike Tomlin, or whomever else you want, but this offense simply wasn't good enough last season. Its most efficient receiver was Deontay Johnson, who was traded to Carolina. Most consistent playmaker was backup running back Jaylen Warren, who was forced to play behind disappointing first-rounder Najee Harris. In the new version of the battles between Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard and Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon, it took both teams too long to make the change to a more productive back, although Pittsburgh did decline Harris's fifth-year option after a third middling season. The Steelers are ahead of the Panthers because they have George Pickens, who is coming off an 1,140-yard season at his age 22 campaign. He goes on to write, I won't bore you with some of the details here. I was excited about him, but he basically had the fourth lowest expected catch rate of any receiver, despite exceeding that expectation. He said he's still optimistic about Pickens, even though he's very questionable about Arthur Smith's ability to design an offense around his playmakers. He said it sure looks and feels like Pickens or bust for the Pittsburgh passing game. 27th, man.
I mean, the receivers are an absolute concern because they haven't filled that void.
They have one proven receiver.
Yeah, people keep speculating that they will fill that void, maybe with a great player, maybe with a decent one, but they haven't done so. It's George Pickens, and it's a bunch of guys that I would argue are like wide receiver four.
They have to hope Roman Wilson's like wide somewhere between wide receiver two and three.
I don't even really put him like I see him as
Van
like a
Jefferson,
three, like a slot guy.
Quez
like
Watkins,
all the other guys are like four or five receivers.
They also have a tight end that everyone keeps saying they want to lock up long term. I know that we like Pat Freiermuth, the person on this show. I know Pony has a very good relationship with him. I don't think Pat's a bad guy, obviously, but I gotta call it like I see it. Do we really know if Pat Freiermuth's like good? Seriously. One, can he stay healthy? And I say that's never a player's fault, but it just is there on your ledger. You don't blame the guy. You don't say, unless he's like doing stupid stuff off the field, which never really happens. If a guy's getting hurt on the field, it's hard for me to blame them for it, but I also just have to count it as a strike against them. It's point in fact. I don't think we have any idea if Pat Freiermuth, A, is really good, and B, if he is really good, what form that takes. Which is why I like this format that Barnwell used, because I think a lot of Pat's problems are quarterback play, but that's also a projection. I have no idea if they were getting baller quarterback play if I would suddenly find out that Pat Freiermuth is terrific.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've seen like two pretty good seasons from him, and then last year was just a disaster. I mean, the injury, but then also he had half of his production in a single game. Otherwise, he was never even looked at or thrown to. throughout the 23
Would you give
season.
Him a new deal? You got, because I think if you give him one, granted, it's not going to be like for an arm and a leg because he hasn't produced to that level.
Yeah, I mean, he could still probably be in the, like, that would be in the mid-teens.
Pat Freiermuth this year, you expect him to be, like, I hate doing player rankings this way, but it's how everyone else does them. He's TE what in the NFL to you right now, off the top of your head, if you were just trying to, like, spitball where he falls?
Probably, like, 10, maybe 10 to 12.
I'm trying to think. So in their division right now.
I can't
now,
even think if I'm being like generous or hurtful with that. I mean, he's definitely not in the elite tier. He's not up there with
he's
Kelce.
Not, he's not better than Kincaid in Buffalo.
No, he's not a Kittle. He's not an Andrews. You can
so you just
take
so there's,
those guys
there's
out of it.
There's four that we agree are better than him, right? Kincaid, Andrews.
Hawkinson is better.
For sure better.
Who was the rookie last year in Detroit? That guy was great.
Not Hawkinson. I have him. Laporta.
Yeah. He's better already.
I mean, is he better than Mike? Is he better than Michael Mayer is going to be eventually? Michael Mayer, I think, is just in a situation where it's a bad kind of team,
I mean,
but.
That's a dumpster fire.
Is he. I'm just trying to like spitball this here. You know, is he better than guys like Tyler Higbee for sure? Tyler Higbee's 30, so I mean he's getting older.
Yeah, I'd put him ahead of a guy like that for sure.
Is he better than Noah Fant for sure? Noah Fant had a bad year last year, but I'm just not positive that some of these guys that he's definitively better. Like he shouldn't be better than Kyle Pitts, who's a glorified receiver.
I don't know if I'd say he's better than Njoku after what he did last
season. Had a monster season. You have to give the guy credit for that. I guess my point is
the Browns also paid him without really doing all that much.
And he validated it to their credit and to his credit, I guess, more than anything. They kind of saw something there. I don't know. So then I'm just saying you look at him, you have a plodding running back who was good at the end of the year, but I think people bend over backwards to try to find reasons to say Najee Harris is really good rather than actual evidence. Jaylen Warren's explosive, but even a guy who likes what he's done, wonders about him getting a full season's worth of like more the bell cow reps and if you would get diminishing returns. There's a small part of my brain that asks, is Jaylen Warren closer to football Connor Joe than we think? Like if you give him 300 touches in a year, are you going to get diminishing returns from touches like 225 onward? And then you look at them personnel-wise, man. This is why I thought about what Barnwell wrote, and I couldn't really disagree with it. If Deontay was still here, I think they'd be up closer to where you said, like late teens. They look like an Arthur Smith team, talent-wise, on offense, as far as like personnel and the skill slots. They don't have Derrick Henry, but that's what they kind of are built like.
They also did this to themselves because they created a massive void at receiver. When, okay, was Deontay Johnson a pain in the ass to people? Sure. But they created that monster hole, and they have yet to fill it. Like, they traded him for a guy that was a corner who I would say at best is pretty mediocre. He was going to get cut by Carolina, who was the worst team in football. Well,
they seem to think
you.
That he's like, I know that could be like a financial consideration thing partly
it could,
too, but
yeah.
Still, you're right. They seem to have a lot of faith in him.
And they created a massive hole there, and I would argue they didn't really fill the hole at corner, hence why they're trying to go out there and have Cam Sutton be the slot guy who's now out for 8 games. I know this is an offensive discussion
well,
here.
Well, no, but I mean, you're talking about robbing the offense to try to pay the defense.
That trade created a hole that they otherwise would not have had.
I just think it's kind of eye-opening. We get in the fishbowl here, and I think you've had some of these people on, and I'm not saying that these guys are Pollyanna at all, but I think there's a natural temptation if you cover a local team, whether it's for a paper or otherwise, to accentuate the positive and downplay to some extent potential negatives. And when I look at a Barnwell, he's looking at every team. I think you get out of that fishbowl mode, and I think that makes it easier to evaluate a team on their merits. Like, are they really good, or am I just hoping that they're good? 27th is rough, dude. And the only team that I think is poised to be good this year that is behind them is the Chargers, but they've got a different planet at quarterback right now. And you might even say, you know, Tomlin's really good, but you can make a case Jim Harbaugh's just, period, one of the best football coaches going at the moment. Like, I would have reason to believe if I were that team, because my quarterback is already in place, and two, my coach has a track record of having gotten a lot out of his teams wherever he's gone. I just thought it was eye-opening, because I would have, before I clicked on the article, I would have thought you were probably right. They'd weight Pickens pretty heavily. They'd maybe feel like Freiermuth was a victim of his quarterback play, and then they wouldn't mind the two-headed running back approach, but 27th is pretty rough, dude.
He shredded Najee Harris a lot more than I thought he would.
I mean,
but maybe that should paint a picture for people of how the
league works and how people view it.
Yeah, and like that, and also just how people on a national level view what type of player he is.
Bill's smart, and so he knows it's a passing league, so I think you can wait, you can kind of understand where he's coming from on two fronts. If it's just about your skill players, they did too much on the running back front to spend a first-round pick, and they haven't addressed wide receiver outside of Pickens. They got weaker at the most important offensive skill position now, and they gave up too much capital or committed a little bit too much, although they didn't pick up the fifth-year option to a position that doesn't matter as much. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates, fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All Access with Aditi Kinkabwala is up next. We'll talk to her about these skill rankings, and also I have a truly difficult question to pose to Aditi, and it has a very good chance of making her mad at me. Not that that's usually a high bar that we need to clear for my questions to Aditi. We'll talk to her next, though. Here's Donnie with a fan headline.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
PM team. No Andrew Filippone. He's being a dad on parental leave the rest of the week. Jeff Hathorn in an hour. A potpourri of subjects to discuss with Jeff, who also has the North Shore Tavern leadoff show for you coming up at 7 o'clock. Pirates look to do something they literally haven't done in 2 months and win 3 games in a row by beating Milwaukee tonight, which means it probably won't happen, let's be honest. Aditi Kinkabwala, All Access with Aditi. Right now, I'm going to get right to the tough stuff, Aditi. How is your garden growing? What kind of vegetables are coming in? We've got tomatoes. We got grape tomatoes and those little sugar bomb tomatoes to beat the ban. And I saw a red pepper starting to sprout today. I was very pleased.
We've got all sorts of spicy peppers, ancho, jalapeno, red chili pepper, ghost pepper. We've got eggplant. And we do have tomatoes. We have some early birds. We have cherry. We have grape. We tried a yellow variety. It's like black and yellow. And
is that a Wiz Khalifa tomato?
We've got some big ones. I saw what you just did there.
Yes.
I should tell my husband that. Yes. My husband, who is so frustrated at our son's fandom, that at least his daughter is growing Steelers tomatoes.
That's right. Do you guys compost too? Because I have this giant composting thing that I still haven't used. And my wife is, I think, starting to get antsy that, like, you bought this, I assembled it because you're a klutz, Chris, and you still haven't used it yet. No, you don't go that far down the rabbit hole?
No. I mean, it's enough that I give these. We're growing vegetables in pots, and I do give them some plant food, or I've done it once. I gave them plant food once, and I try to spray the keep the pests away.
Okay.
Actually, I think our biggest success story right now, I don't know if it counts as a success story just yet, but some critter ate my daughter's watermelon plant.
Uh-oh.
And I told her to put some regular seeds from a watermelon, you know, like you eat
yeah,
a watermelon.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bought a seedless watermelon, but it had some seeds in it. So I told her to put those seeds inside the watermelon pot, and it started growing again.
Oh, so that's,
I don't know if that's like from the original watermelon plant or if it's these seeds have turned into it or what.
The seeds turning into it are a better story. So I think you should go with that one, that you get these seeds from a seedless watermelon and you have like this.
This is the honesty in me. I could have just thrown it out there. It's like, can you believe this?
Yeah.
The seeds from the allegedly seedless watermelon turned into this plant. I wish I was in my backyard to show you all this.
We don't have any.
It's really windy. It's really windy out.
I said it was a convection oven out there today when I walked out to my car, like the fan blowing hot air. It was brutal. Yep. Brutal today.
And it's bizarre because it's so warm. But it really is hot. It's blowing hot air.
You would think that it would be windy because a cold front's moving in, but apparently that's not going to happen until later tonight when my plants hopefully get all this much needed water. By the way, Aditi, before I go any further, I will say we have one cheat code that I think makes it easy to grow stuff. Fence, because of the dogs. So no deer, no nothing. Rarely does a bunny even venture into the yard anymore.
Because of the dogs? You think it's the bunnies smelling the dog?
I think the rabbits, my dogs have more or less free reign when the temperature is reasonable and the AC is off. We put a doggy screen door on. So if they sense anything is out there, they will go barreling through, barking their heads off. But we don't have, deer are the things that eat everybody's plants, and we don't have any deer problems.
We have some nasty chipmunks. I'll tell you that. The chipmunks are often burrowing holes inside our garden.
Oh, you got like Chip and Dale in there. The rescue ranger.
Maybe. Or Alvin. Simon. What was the third? Theodore. Was the third one named Theodore?
Yes, you got them all. Yeah.
The things that are in the recesses of my brain.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to go right in with our big question of the day that I told Donnie and I told our listeners beforehand. You were going to get exasperated at me for this one. It's a fun one, I promise. It's not like one that's a tough question.
I'll be the judge of that. I'll decide.
So I love questions that are the whole one game to save your life. Like your personal life is on the line for the outcome of this game and you're trying to build a team, okay? Now I was looking at the list of the best edge rushers. They did scouts, coaches, personnel executives, basically. People who actually matter, whose opinions drive the direction of teams in the league here. Garrett was first, Watt was second. They kind of were almost in a tier by themselves the way they were talked about by the quotes in these stories. Then it was Parsons and Nick Bosa. If I gave you all four of those players but said you've got to pick one to join your team for a game to save your life, who are you picking?
TJ.
TJ. Automatic.
Yep. Done.
Easy.
Because of everything he brings you outside, like if your life is on the line, there is no question that TJ is giving you every single thing that he possibly has. It's the way that TJ makes everybody around him so much better. It's the way that there's never any sort of question at all about what interests TJ or what his priority is or what he is focused on. Yeah, that's just a done. And if we were a show out of Cleveland, I'd say the same thing. Or Dallas.
Well, I will tell you this, like it might surprise you. If I were answering my own question there, I wouldn't do the thing that everyone would accuse me of, which is since my mom's from Cleveland, they say you're going to answer Garrett to troll us. I might take Parsons just because I know I can line him up off the ball and move him around a little bit like a Swiss Army knife in that game.
Yeah, I'd say, you know what? You can move Garrett around too. And you can see players. I mean, I'd take Garrett second for sure. I would take him second. I just, you know, in a situation like that, you need all the tangibles and you need all the intangibles. And TJ's the one that I'd feel good about riding with.
All right. That's a fair answer. And I think it is going to be a popular answer. And maybe Donnie's already working on a social
Heaven
media.
Heaven forbid.
Donnie's already going to work on a social media post. Aditi Kinkabwala, TJ Watt, no question, when asked who she would pick as an edge rusher to save her life in one game. Let's go.
That would work. That's fair. And then I'll see Myles Garrett in a month and he'll ask me about it. And I'll say, sorry, buddy. This is how I felt. Prove me wrong.
I got another ranking for you that Donnie and I just got done talking about. So Bill Barnwell at ESPN was doing skill group rankings and kind of divorcing the running back, tight end, wide receivers from the quarterbacks who throw them the ball. Because obviously it's hard to say Patrick Mahomes has the best skill guys. He doesn't top to bottom. He's just Patrick Mahomes. The Steelers' backs, receivers, tight ends came in at 27th in the league, and he had big questions about their receiving room, kind of questions about Pat Freiermuth ultimately, and definitely questions about their usage of Harris. How does that shake out to you? The only team that was a real competitive team that was lower than them was the Chargers, and they were dead last because they've been gutted by you know, in terms of skill players, basically, in advance of Harbaugh getting there?
I just feel, don't, like, Mulsey, isn't all of this a little bit premature? We haven't seen anybody in the Arthur Smith offense, and you're judging what people have done in what was literally the single most dysfunctional offense in the National Football League for a number of years. It's, you mentioned Pat Freiermuth, and I keep saying this over and over again, that I believe, I feel that he is going to have a monster year, but think about who he was as a rookie. What a great red zone target he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about the way Matt Canada used him, which is basically not at all. And then in the first game when Matt Canada wasn't calling the plays, when Eddie Faulkner and Mike Sullivan were running the offense, Pat had this monster game. It was like, oh yeah, you do actually have a tight end who can be reliable for you. So to sit here and say, okay, there's a ton of questions about Pat Freiermuth. Well, he was completely misused. And again, a dysfunctional offense. You're to have these questions about Najee Harris. Well, it's not like he exactly ran behind this unbelievable offensive line or through this wonderful run game design. I mean, there's just all these, it feels again, like you're judging the past and not necessarily what will be.
Well, I think there's a, I think,
I mean,
mainly,
I have a lot more, look, I'm cutting you off, but I have way more questions about the quarterback position than I do about whether there are actually skilled position players who could be productive.
Well, that's fine, because I have questions about their quarterback position too, obviously. I do think, though, that the first part of that statement puts you in more of a minority crowd as far as, like, not many people, I think, feel bullish yet about their entire backs and receivers stable. Like, they have to see it to believe it. So you saying you have more faith sight unseen definitely is a more minority view, I think, of them at this point right now. I think that would be a safe statement.
But I think that is faith based on who I believe Arthur Smith is and what I believe Arthur Smith can do. And the way that Arthur Smith matches what this organization has said it wants its offensive philosophy to be. So, but again, everything starts, it's, you know, it's like Justin Tuck used to talk about with me with Tom Brady. You cut off the head of the snake and the snake isn't there anymore. It all goes back to the quarterback. Is the quarterback reading the defense right? Are you getting in and out of the right run plays or the pass plays? Can you hold on to the ball long enough to, you know, not be scared of the rush? Are you not climbing out of the back of the pocket? Are you, you know, setting up your line right? All of those things are significant and matter, of course. But again, I just feel like we have not gotten a totally fair picture of who some of these skill position players can be, Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, even a George Pickens, a Calvin Austin, for various reasons.
Aditi, to jump a little bit to the other side of the ball, just your reaction. We got the news earlier this week. Not only was it an 8-game suspension for Cam Sutton, but that, in, I think this surprised some people, he didn't even have a right to appeal. So waived his right to appeal, and it's just going to be 8 games. Do you think it's even a guarantee we see him suit up for the Steelers this year?
I don't think anything is a guarantee. And that's not specific to him. I don't think anything in life is a guarantee.
Idea that if they find somebody that backfills well, if Trice stays healthy, they might just wash their hands of it since he's not getting paid and just say, you know what, we're going to move on from this potentially. Mike Florio floated that idea to me.
I feel like the fact that they brought him in, I feel that, you know, his camp telling me that Omar Khan immediately sort of reached out based on the strength of the relationship that this organization had with Cam Sutton when he was here and how they felt about him as a human being. The things that Mike Tomlin has said about him, I don't know that they just view him as sort of a widget. Like, here's a guy who's just a place. I do actually believe that there's some genuine care for the human being that he is, and whether they think that they can... again, this is such a dicey way to...
You're saying they're in it for a longer haul, though, with him, it sounds like, than just we were going to wait to see if he got suspended and if Corey Trice or somebody plays really well and we feel like we have 3 corners, goodbye, see you later, right? Is that fair?
You know, Mulsey, I'm having a moment right now because one of my really good friends, who I happen to know, is really good friends with Myles Garrett, texted me before I came on today to say he was really excited to listen to me on the radio. And now I'm kind of having some qualms because, you know, he told me he was going to listen to me. And the first thing that you set me up to do was to pick somebody else over his friend Myles Garrett.
You had a choice. Free will, Aditi. The first thing I did was ask you about
Mike
your garden.
Told me. Mike, can I give him a shout out?
Yes.
Don't hate me, Mike.
Fair enough. Last one for you, and it's
That's
kind of a
regularly scheduled programming.
Yes, it's this is kind of a goofy one. Did you like the Joe Burrow idea that when the NFL goes to 18 games, he just says two bye weeks, and one of them is a league-wide bye week, and Joe Burrow wants to resuscitate the Pro Bowl by playing it mid-season? He has like an NBA All-Star game kind of vibe to it. He wants it to be like every other All-Star game, basically.
I mean, I appreciate that, and I like the idea of that for sure, but I just think that players really, really, especially in the game of football, need that reset, need to get their bodies right, need to heal, need to kind of just be home for 4 days and not traveling over the country to do that. And I think that we've seen Pro Bowl participation be meh for the last few years. And I just think, I don't know that, I think a lot of star players would say, nah, it's more important to my team and my season if I rest for 4 days as opposed to gallivanting off somewhere.
I lied. This is the last one. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce reportedly spending approximately $100,000 a day on their romance because of security guards. She's got private jets flying all over the place. And he apparently is buying thousands of dollars worth of flowers for her at every show. So when you and your husband were just dating, what was the most romantic gesture he made like that? Did he buy thousands of dollars of flowers ever to surprise you?
No, not in the full sum of our entire 14-year relationship do I think that we've hit four figures in flowers. No. Gosh, that's a tough one.
I could see him like getting
really
you a
That's
like,
putting me on the spot right there.
I could see him getting like a customized terrible towel for you and just being like, "Don't you love it? Come on. It's perfect. Here, I got sticks
really
to play."
You know what? When we were first dating and I was in New Jersey. I was living in New Jersey. He came to visit. Pitt was playing at Rutgers, and I got someone at Rutgers to give us tickets, and we were in the first row at the 50 behind the Pitt bench, and I remember he brought me a Pitt shirt, and I was very conflicted because the tickets came from Rutgers, and I used to cover Rutgers, so I still remember I wore this like Pitt Panther shirt that he bought me on top of a red shirt, just in case anyone called me on it.
You could immediately discard the Pitt shirt and go right back to Rutgers. I think that's just good strategy, Aditi.
I'm not even a Rutgers grad, but to be honest, Greg Schiano did scare me a little bit.
But so. You are wearing, I mean, red was your school's color, of course. And if Pony was here, I would
Cornell
point out
red.
I would point out that he too was accepted into Cornell. Me, not so much. Aditi, we'll do this again next week.
So he claims.
Yeah, no, he was. I believe him. Probably like a 1600 on his SAT. He's a psycho.
Well, Malzi, what do you think? Do you like Pony as a managerial, the prowess of Pony's managerial prowess, or do you take Zeiss and me with the defense?
When it comes to celebrity softball, I pick chaos, and that means by default, Paul Zeiss's team.
Well, there you go. I can't wait to tell Paul. We do have the defense, and defense wins championships. I don't know. Casey Hampton and Brett Kiesel are out of retirement to come join
Cam
Hayward in that defensive line. Let me tell you.
You're going to win, and I want you to talk a ton of crap on Pony when you do win, Aditi. I will be rooting
for
you guys.
Can't wait. But tell your listeners, come out to Washington Wild Things Park Saturday. Great time, great cause, lots of fun. 7 p.m.
Talk to you next week, Aditi. Thank you.
Bye, Muzzy.
How about that, Donnie? We talked vegetables. See, I think that was like the perfect way to get right into that Bosa Garrett question. She let her guard down, and then we hit her with the big shot. But she went Watt immediately.
Yeah.
And I thought she had a valid reason. That's kind of reason you talked about him. Different position, or Vincent in Columbus, different position on the field, different ways to impact the game. We got a Donnie football debrief coming up for you next. Take a quick timeout. We'll be back in literally 1 minute. Here's Donnie with a fan headline. Donnie Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. Take it away, football man.
The Debrief, July 10, 2024. Malzi, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You brought it up, I think, with Mike Florio last hour. And I kind of feel bad for slamming the idea and thinking we just have too much off-season NFL content. I'm one episode behind, but I checked out the first episode of the off-season Hard Knocks that we got with the Giants. It was absolutely better than what I expected.
All the
I almost think I don't think it'll overtake what the training camp one does, and I don't know about the midseason one as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like me being nerdy about the NFL offseason, I was more invested and interested in what I was watching with this, like all the behind-the-scenes stuff, not just, you know, guys practicing.
Well, you know I'm an idiot and can't get myself to watch anything new ever. I'm the worst. You know this about me. We laugh about it all the time. We could watch Judgment Day 2000 in the back, and I'll remember half the matches, but I can't remember to watch this. Like the Joe Schoen trying to, that call he had for 90 seconds with Barkley about, I know you saw that, because like I've just been seeing it in Twitter clips. That little call, and you can kind of hear the tension. There's like that weird tension where he's like, are you going to at least circle back to us? We're going to let you hit free agency. We don't want to go through the tag again. Very human interaction, and you can hear Barkley on the other end just kind of being like, I don't know. It was very compelling television because you can hear in his voice some internal conflict there. I will concede this much. If I can squeeze some free time to actually sit and watch something like that, I probably will, because I'm not as much of an NFL offseason nerd as you are. I'm kind of a put the games in front of me and let me react to them. But it's impossible really to be a serious NFL like consumer anymore without, you know, to do our job without at least having some finger on the pulse of it. So I'm with you. It's been much better than expected, viewed in 90-second clips.
And I agree with what Mike said. Our concern with Hard Knocks for the last handful of years has been how much say the organization has and what comes out, you know, what gets left on the cutting room floor. I mean, we won't know in this case, but they seem to have more of that good stuff that we want and less of the just filler nonsense. So, like, they didn't seem to say, oh, you know what, take that out. Like, they very easily could have taken out the part, the phone call with Barkley, or they could have edited it to make it seem less awkward than what it was. Things like that.
I'm surprised
that
it's the Giants, too. It's a Tiffany franchise. They're maybe not on the level quite of the Steelers or even the Patriots now, but they're still a New York team that's the bigger of the two New York teams in terms of fan base, and it's an old-school ownership group. So I'm surprised they let them do that. But, I mean, Mike does cut right to the chase with it. The key is, do you continue to grant real access? I got to be honest. He said the Steelers at the end of that would be the worst team to put on this, and he's right, because they wouldn't grant anything. Tomlin would be very tight-lipped about it, about what gets out. Rooney would be even more tight-lipped about what kind of stuff made final cut. It's all, that show is as, bottom line, regardless of what the format is as good or bad as the team lets it be. It really is. So, but it's been fun to watch. Let me tell you something. I saw another clip. They're going through with Jaden Daniels, like they're doing the grease board exercise. I drafted him 3rd overall in a dynasty rookie draft, and I needed quarterbacks. It's a super flex league. I was genuinely conflicted on how I felt about him when they went through and they were saying, okay, it's cover one. What do you think we want you to do? And I guess the correct answer, I think it was your Derek Bell guy, the Steelers DB guy, retweeted it. And he said, the correct answer is throw the slot fade. Did you see Daniel's response? He goes, probably want me to throw a touchdown if it's cover one. And Dable goes like, I like that answer. You can tell he's like into it. But I thought to myself, is Daniel's going to be good? Is this guy just, is he Ben Roethlisberger type guy? Doesn't need to know the coverage. He just says, I'll go out there and make a play, coach. Because seeing your guy Derek Bell say, no, what they wanted him to say was throw the slot fade. He didn't go with that. He went with, I'm just going to throw a touchdown, coach.
Yeah, I mean, I can even think back to some clips. I mean, this is how crazy I am, and this is how many times I've watched like those Steelers Super Bowl DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl 41. So Ben's only 2 years into the league at this point. He's only in his second year at that point, I should say. There were a couple of clips where Bill Cowher brings up the coverage and Ben just didn't really have any idea. Like, he was very much confused by what it was. It worked out in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he ended up just making a great play, as he was prone to do, especially in that season. But
that's why Mahomes is so good, because he knows the coverages. He figured it out very quickly, and he also still has that element to him. That's what's disgusting. Now, if it was Kenny Pickett, forget it. Do I even want to do that today?
We could leave that one on the cutting room
just
floor.
You want me to edit that one out of today's broadcast? Thank you, Donnie. That was a good debrief. I think I actually am going to start watching it. I'm trying to think of what my life would be like if I consumed sports adjacent content the way you and Pony both do. I almost feel like it's a necessary thing for the show, though, for me to continue to be a man on a weird island here. What if we were all just three of us giant football and like sports obsessives? I don't know if the show would work the
mine,
way it does.
Mine has definitely gone down a little bit.
It's a paradox. You're working in a higher profile spot than you've ever been in your career, but you're doing less of it. You're doing less of the watching for recreation.
Yeah, I think it's also now like I'm like Sarah and I live together. So it's like once, you know, we are like settled in for the night, we're watching a TV show that we can both enjoy. Like I put her through a lot of she's a football fan. I put her through a ton of football. Once we get to late August and
but are you putting her through it if she's a fan of it?
I mean, I don't think she was used to watching like every single game every single week.
Sarah, if you're listening, sorry, you signed up for this. You willfully entered into this agreement.
But she is on a bachelorette party right now, so I was like, oh, I'll throw this on this morning and then, you know, maybe watch the second episode tonight. At some point.
That's because you don't have something called kids. Twitter here on the fan, at 93.7 The Fan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. The Pirates, the Bats, they woke up finally. And now they have a chance to do the unthinkable. Win three straight baseball games. Can it happen? Will it happen? And then there's one other big picture thought I have on this team. I'm almost afraid to even say it, and I'll tell you why coming up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Tis the season. It's the Chevy summer drive. Come on, Chris. At Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91. It's a convection oven out there, but it might start raining. Low of 67 degrees.